This is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. It was on this very day back in 1854 that Anthony Foss of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, was granted the very first U.S. patent for what musical instrument? Was it A, the kazoo, B, the accordion, C, the saxophone, or D, the whoopee cushion? So, what did Anthony Foss receive a patent for on this day back in 1854? And question number two, what is the name of the singer who on this day in 1968 performed at Folsom State Prison in California? In May of that same year, parts of the two shows performed there were released as At Folsom Prison. On this day, 1968. Hint, here's a snippet from one of his songs.
It's midnight at a liquor store in Texas. Closing time, another day is done. When a boy walks in the door and points a pistol, he can't find a job, but Lord, he's found a gun.
Sound familiar? So, who is this singer who performed at Folsom State Prison? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program.
Already he can feel a great relief.
Our transitions come to us from the December 28, 2018 issue of The Week magazine. Farewell Among Those Who Died in 2018, Music and the Arts, in chronological order. Starting with January the 15th, Dolores O'Riordan, frontwoman of the Irish rock band The Cranberries, who showcased her startling voice on Linger and Zombie, died at the age of 46. On January the 23rd, Hugh Masakela, the South African jazz trumpeter, singer, and activist who provided a soundtrack for the anti-apartheid movement, died at age 78. February the 11th, Vic Damone, post-war crooner whose velvety voice garnered praise from Frank Sinatra, died at the age of 89. On April 20th, Tim Bergling, Swedish DJ and record producer who became electronic dance music superstar under the stage name Avicii, died at the age of 28. August the 16th, Aretha Franklin, singer whose sheer vocal power, technical skill, and ability to convey emotional nuance led her to be hailed as the Queen of Soul, died at age 76. September 27th, Marty Balin, Jefferson Airplane singer and songwriter who helped start a psychedelic rock revolution in the 1960s, died at the age of 76. October the 6th, Montserrat Caballé, that's the Barcelona bar-born soprano who became an opera superstar, died at the age of 85. October 24th, Tony Joe White, Louisiana swamp rock songwriter who had a hit with Poke Salad Annie, died at the age of 75. And November the 15th, Roy Clark, virtuoso guitarist who became a country music icon as the host of TV variety show Hee Haw, died at the age of 85. Eagles Take It Easy introduces our country music article titled Nashville is America's New Rock Capital. For decades, the best country rock usually came from the rock side of the equation, from the Eagles to Wilco. Mainstream country's own attempts to rock out usually came off as cheesy and slick, but that's beginning to change thanks to artists like Eric Church, Brothers Osborne and Jason Isbell, mainstream acts whose prize earthy guitars and 70s AM radio catchiness. Throw in Americana artists like Amanda Shires and Lily Hyatt, and Nashville is becoming a rock and roll hotbed. There's a group of artists living near each other, sharing ideas and growing a sound, says Cameron Duddy of the band Midland. That's not happening in New York or L.A., or even Austin. This is written by Joseph Hudak, published in Rolling Stone magazine, January 2019 issue. Easy. Beethoven's Fifth Symphony introduces our classical music news, entitled Things You Didn't Know About Beethoven. This is written by Gabby Reutcher and published on the 9th of February, 2015, in DW.com. How did a rat change Beethoven's life? Was he really a grouch? Who was his secret lover? There are enough books on the famous composer to fill a library. But there are still many mysteries surrounding his life. For example, he wrote music for a dead poodle. As a child, he learned to play piano, organ, and violin. He gave his first concert at the age of 7. When he was 12, he was already composing pieces with funny names like Song for an Infant, and later, Elegy on the Death of a Poodle. The identity of the lucky poodle remains unknown. In 1792, Beethoven moved to Vienna, where he would remain until his death. Also, he had a mysterious love life. Beethoven never got married. It is said that he wrote his most famous piano piece, Für Elise, for the German opera singer Elisabeth Rochelle. He supposedly even asked her to marry him. In Vienna, Beethoven was always involved in love affairs. Among his private papers, Beethoven left behind love letters to an unknown lady who has become known as the, quote-unquote, immortal beloved. No one knows exactly who that was. Also, he was messy, but strict. His chamber pot would remain unemptied under his piano, and leftovers would be found scattered among his compositions. His face was stubby and pockmarked. The cheerful young composer turned into a grouchy and ill-tempered man. He wrote that his inability was due to his increasing deafness. And he was a musical revolutionary. The era of Viennese classicism came to an end with Beethoven. The composer with a wild mop of hair was considered a musical revolutionary and a pioneer of Romanticism. Beethoven composed some 240 works, including symphonies, piano concertos, string quartets, and one opera. Also, he had a vision. Beethoven was a perfectionist. He did not compose for his contemporaries, but for posterity. He would revise and correct his scores again and again until late at night. Beethoven is now one of the most frequently performed composers in the world, and his only opera almost landed in the trash. Peter von Braun commissioned Beethoven's only opera, Fidelio. At its beginning performance in 1805, the opera was panned by critics. Beethoven successfully reworked it, producing a third and fourth version of the score. Also, he was inspired and infuriated by Napoleon. Beethoven wasn't only interested in music, but also in philosophy, literature, and politics. In the early phases of his musical career, he would pay tribute to heroicism. He was a fan of the French Revolution and devoted his Third Symphony to Napoleon. However, when Napoleon crowned himself emperor, Beethoven furiously erased this dedication from his score. Also, he decided less was more. The beginning of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, playing in the background now, from 1808, the world is world-renowned. The motif of the first movement is made of just four notes. Altogether, Beethoven wrote 9 symphonies, a lot fewer than Mozart, who composed over 41. Every respectable large orchestra has all 9 symphonies in its standard repertoire. Beethoven's symphonies were so comprehensive and tremendous sounding that subsequent composers were paralyzed by the challenge of outdoing them. Also, he influenced the development of the CD. The 9th Symphony still influences music to this day. It served as a template of the 1970 worldwide pop hit, A Song of Joy. Since 1985, the instrumental version of Ode to Joy is the anthem of the European Union. The 80-minute standard for CDs established in 1982 was also influenced by the length of this approximately 70-minute symphony. Developers of the CD said that it should be possible to hear Beethoven's 9th on just one CD. And finally, a rat's flea might have made him deaf. Beethoven started becoming deaf in his late 20s. He couldn't hear anything by the age of 48. According to recent studies, his deafness could have come from a form of typhus caused by a rat flea. Nevertheless, he continued to compose. Beethoven wasn't only deaf, he was also in chronic pain. Beethoven had absolute pitch, so he could imagine the sounds and the harmony in his mind without hearing them on an instrument. It is now known that the attempts to heal him at the time were not only painful, they also contributed to additional inflammation, which only worsened Beethoven's suffering. He became lonely, turned into a crank, which his biographers say is an unfair way to remember him. Armstrong's Hesitating Blues introduces our jazz and blues music news. An article entitled Facts About Louis Armstrong, written by Mark Mancini, published in mentalfloss.com on the 6th of July, 2018. With his infectious smile and raspy voice, Louis Armstrong, who actually pronounced his own name Louis, won over fans worldwide. To untold millions, every note that he let loose made the world feel a bit more wonderful. And his music is still being discovered by new generations of fans. Here are facts about the life of one of the 20th century's most important jazz musicians. For example, during a famous recording, he allegedly dropped his sheet music and improvised. At one point in Heebie Jeebies, a 1926 song released by Armstrong and his Hot Five band, the singer vocalizes a series of nonsensical, horn-like sounds. Music historians recognized as the first popular mass-market scat ever recorded. Ironically, Armstrong later wrote the whole thing off as a big blunder on his part. Armstrong claimed to have come prepared with printed lyrics that day. Midway through the recording session, though, he accidentally dropped them and scatted to fill the ensuing silence. He used to give away laxatives as gifts. Between 1952 and 55, Armstrong shed 100 pounds. Losing weight proved difficult at first, but his luck changed once he learned of an herbal laxative called Swiss Chris. The artist promptly went out, bought a box, and became a lifelong spokesman. Enamored, the musician began handing out packets to admirers, loved ones, and band members. Armstrong neither requested nor received any payment from its manufacturers. Also, segregation laws drove him to boycott his own home state. The year 1956 saw Louisiana prohibit integrated bands. Outraged, Armstrong refused to stage another concert within the state's borders. "They treat me better all over the world than they do in my hometown," he said. "Ain't that stupid?" Jazz was born there. 9 years later, after this ban had finally been lifted, he again took to the stage in New Orleans on October 31, 1965. And also, while playing before the royal family, Armstrong gave King George V a new nickname. At His Majesty's command, several of the biggest names in jazz took their talents to Buckingham Palace. And in 1932, Armstrong was requested for a royal performance. According to Armstrong, that night's biggest laugh came right before his group started playing "You Rascal You." Without warning, he looked straight up at the monarch and hollered, "This one's for you, Rex."
He left that night on the cannonball. Honey, oh honey, how long?
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
What a Wonderful World was originally pitched to Tony Bennett. The song for which Pops is most widely remembered, What a Wonderful World, was almost never his song at all. After completing the optimistic anthem, the songwriters thought that Tony Bennett would eat it right up. He subsequently passed, so the duo contacted Armstrong in 1967. What a Wonderful World didn't make a splash in the U.S. until well after Armstrong's death. Although the ballad topped the 1968 charts in Great Britain, American sales were abysmal. When Pops passed away in 1971, What a Wonderful World seemed destined to for stateside obscurity. Then along came a bare-knuckled comedy called Good Morning Vietnam, 1987. The joyous tune perfectly and ironically clashed with the wartime horrors depicted in one montage. What a Wonderful World struck a chord with moviegoers and was re-released that year, becoming an oft-requested radio hit.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
And in music research and technology, songlyricsgenerator.org.uk. Have fun writing lyrics and experimenting with different musical styles. You can choose a musical genre or artist to inspire your creation. Then you choose a few topics to write about, and we map out a cool song based on your choices. Quotes about song lyrics generator include, "This is what it came up with. Oh my God, so funny. I love the lyrics, so inspirational. Thanks for letting me know about this lyric generator, as it's pretty damn funny. I am forever amazed by the random stuff found on the internet." So how do you write a song? Well, number one, you choose a style, such as country, Christmas, ballad, love song, metal, rap, musical, summer song, freestyle song, artists like Adele, Beatles, Sinatra, ABBA, Taylor Swift. Then number two, you give up some key words to play with. You fill out a form, actually, and I'll give you some examples later. Number three, we automatically create lyrics, a cover, and a name for your single. Market Masterpiece Generator refers to a set of text generator tools created by Ardgo. The tools are designed to be cool and entertain, but also help aspiring writers create a range of different media, including plots, lyrics for songs, poems, letters, and names. Some generated content parodies existing styles and artists, whilst others are based on original structures. Our first generator, Song Lyrics Generator, was launched in 2002 as a student magazine project. After it proved popular, we expanded to include plots, and the project grew from there. And here's an example.
1776. New York City.
Pardon me, are you Aaron Burr, sir?
That depends. Who's asking?
Oh, sure. Sir, I'm Alexander Hamilton. I'm at your service, sir. I have been looking for you.
I'm getting nervous.
Sir, I heard your name at Princeton. I was seeking an accelerated course of study. When I got sort of out of sorts with a buddy of yours, I may have punched him. It's a blur, sir. He handles the financials.
You punched the bursar.
Yes,
I need a helping hand writing a rap? Our artificially intelligent rap generator uses the topics you choose to write the lyrics for a perfect rhyming rap or any other kind of hip-hop song. It's free to use. Just fill in the blanks to the prompts and send it all to us. The prompts include such items as name a place, name a person, list some nouns, verbs, and adjectives, and name something you think about. Raps sometimes sound haphazard, but in fact, they are very clever poetry with all sorts of snazzy features, like internal rhyming. But what if you don't have the time or skills to come up with your own literary devices? Well, we've taken the pain out of finding the right words with our auto-rhyming engine. We'll also create you an album cover and generate a rap name for you. Apologies, by the way, to Lin-Manuel Miranda, who did not use this source. And he wrote the musical Hamilton, which is playing in the background right now.
Those red coats don't want it with me, cause I will pack chicka black these cops till I'm free.
Hey, oui, oui, mon ami, je m'appelle Lafayette, the Lancelot of the revolutionary set. I came from afar just to say bonsoir to the king, cause it's toi who is the best, c'est moi.
Once again, that's songlyricsgenerator.org.uk. So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our second question, what's the name of the singer who on this day in 1968 performed at Folsom State Prison in California? In May of that same year, the parts of the two shows were released as At Folsom Prison, and I played a snippet of this singer's voice as a hint. Correct answer, Johnny Cash. As noted in KXRB.com on January the 14th, 2016, songs about prisons and songs about trains were the core of Johnny Cash's music. One song combined the two. That song would come as close as being a signature song as anything could possibly be for Cash. The song was Folsom Prison Blues. Johnny wrote the song while he was serving in the U.S. Air Force. He was inspired while watching the movie Inside the Walls of Folsom Prison. The song was recorded at the Sun Studio in Memphis, Tennessee on July 30th, 1955, producer Sam Phillips. Cash performed the song at Folsom Prison itself on January the 13th, 1968, and this version was eventually released on the At Folsom Prison album the same year. That opening song is more up-tempo than the Sun studio recording. The live version released as a single went all the way to number one on the country charts. It would earn Cash a Grammy in 1969. And the answer to our first question, it was on this day back in 1854 that Anthony Foss of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, was granted the very first U.S. patent for what musical instrument? The kazoo, the accordion, the saxophone, or the whoopee cushion? So, what did Anthony Foss receive a patent for on this day in 1854? Correct answer is answer B, the accordion. Anthony Foss had made improvements to the keyboard and enhanced the sound of this musical instrument to receive that U.S. patent back in 1854. Dictionary.onmusic.org adds that the first form of this instrument was invented by Friedrich Buschmann in 1822, Berlin. In 1829, Cyrilius Damian of Vienna created another version of this instrument and gave it the name of accordion because of the addition of buttons played by the left hand that sounded chords. A chord, by the way, is the French term for chord. Eventually, the name accordion was used for all instruments of this type. It has been a popular instrument through the years, with large organizations over the world created for accordion enthusiasts. It has been popular in many cultures as the main instrument in several musical genres. These include Cajun, Zydeco from America, Polka of Europe and America and Latino, Tango of Argentina, and classical transcriptions of European composers of the 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries. There have also been several serious composers who have written works for the accordion, including Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky and Dmitri Shostakovich. So let's close out on an upbeat note with a polka-style song featuring the accordion, Chicken Dance. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review, and as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review, readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in the TRRS website, TriangleReadingService.org. Now, if you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson, at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.